Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And before we pray, I want to say something. Words just came up as we started singing that song. And what it was is the word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? It's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And it's a word of knowledge, not on education. It's a word of knowledge about something. And if you study it out in the Bible, it has to do with something present or past, where God reveals something about something, whether it's past or present, that you otherwise didn't know. And this thought, somebody had this thought, and somebody's dealt with this thought, and I didn't know it until the Holy Ghost just said it. But here's what you have to understand going forward. Do not mistake boldness for not being compassionate. Because we're trying to rescue people's lives here and save people's lives. And the devil's very bold in how he handles people and what he does. In times, you can hear boldness coming from the pulpit. And the reason it's coming from that is to shake you silly and to shake you straight. Because some of us need shook to get through to. And the Holy Ghost said, don't mistake boldness for not being compassionate. If you've ever watched people being rescued, whether it be from a burning building or, maybe a shipwreck, and they're pulling them out of the building, they're pulling them out of the water, they're not being gentle with them. They're not worried about maybe putting a bruise on their arm by grabbing them too hard or maybe bumping their hip over the boat. And they're just, get them into safety, right? And it's the same thing. We're trying to save people's lives, and sometimes the Holy Ghost needs to say things in a way that's bold. Like, for example, when I say, we wonder why we're struggling with the same things over and over and over again, that sounds harsh. But what that is it's a lifeline to you telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. That He's got your answer, and you need to be shook and realize that's in His presence is where it's found. But if you take that as not someone not being compassionate, imagine they're rescuing you from the fire. They grab your arm and, what are you doing? No, you're just glad. Grab me. Get me out of the fire. Get me out of the fire. You know? And so it's important that you stay humble to receive the word. Jesus didn't tiptoe in the tulips with His words. I know the old movies portray Him as some weaselly, scrawny, mild-mannered man. Now let me remind you who He was. He brought the whip into the temple when they were abusing the way things should be, and was angry with a righteous indignation and cracked that whip and overturned the tables. He stood up and said, listen, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. He didn't tiptoe and say, well, you know, the Muslims, you know, we're all God's people and you know, God's the judge. No, no, no. He didn't say nothing about Allah. Didn't say nothing about Buddha. Didn't say nothing about Muhammad. He said, me. I'm it. He was bold, praise God. Amen. And in our society, it's very dangerous, and if you're not careful, it'll creep into the church. The world, the news, Hollywood, media, the courts try to tell you what's right. The Bible trumps them all. Amen. And it's true. But because people, you stand on the word of being bold with the word, and people instantly label you as someone who's a hater. You can stand for righteousness and not be hateful, but be bold in standing for righteousness. But when it creeps into the church is when people get their toes stepped on, and there's so much sensitive. So people are so sensitive. You better get some thick skin in the world we're living in with the devil. I am all about coddling and cuddling and petting people and helping them, but as I'm telling them the truth, I'll hug you and love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you're off and things are off, I'm not going to tiptoe around that in fear of offending you. The same way when I get corrected, I don't want it. Just give it to me. What am I doing wrong? Tell me. I want to fix it. Praise God. So be careful with that mindset and that attitude. When your help comes, and it might be in the form of a life raft, but the life raft hits you between the eyes, just be thankful for the life raft. You're not complaining that, bonk, you got a mark on your head. Now, no, thank God I'm not drowning anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you for that word of utterance tonight. Lord, I wasn't thinking of saying that. As soon as we hit the first chord in that song, it just came up in my heart. Father, we're just so grateful for these things that keep us safe. Lord, you're never out to hurt anybody. You're never out to be mean to people. And I'm not that. That's not my heart either. But there are times, Lord, that it's just got to get across a certain way. And sometimes we need our cages rattled a little bit to wake us up, stir us up a bit. So we welcome any correction, any admonishment, any encouragement you have for us in any form and any fashion that comes. And Father, as we get ready to approach your word tonight, we're just so humbly reverent and excited about it, Lord. We count it a joy and an honor. Lord, I know it's a Saturday night. We've done many Saturday nights since 6.5 years ago, and it can become naturally mundane and repetitive, but Father, there's nothing mundane and repetitive about what we're about to do. We're about to get into your word, your supernatural help for us. This is our answer. This is our help. This is our guide for our life. So, Father, give us utterance tonight. May the word be preached with boldness. May I say things, Father, that come straight from the throne room of heaven. Say what you want said. Do what you want done in this service. And, Father, we'll give you the praise. This ain't about Mike Anderson. This isn't about family church. This is about you. It's about exalting and magnifying your kingdom. And Father, we need help tonight, so we thank you for it beforehand. It's your will, we know it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Mark 11:23. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, if you were not here Tuesday night, to get online and listen to the service Tuesday night, because what we talked about Tuesday night, so precious and valuable and important. We talked about being free. Because the Bible says if you know the truth will set you free. Anything in your life that's holding you in bondage is solved by knowing the truth. And we saw on Tuesday, what's that mean to know the truth? Because people think, well, if I go to church or I'm a good person or if I know some scripture, I know the truth. Nah. There's lots of church-going people who love Jesus. Their lives are hell on earth. I used to be a church-going person who loved Jesus and my life was hell on earth. It wasn't until I knew the truth that I got set free. Amen. And people just mess around with this stuff. Here comes that boldness again. People think that they're crying in their worship and the fact that they put music on their home and their heart just loves them so much that that's going to fix their problems. No, no, no. Knowing the truth sets you free. Amen. Your love for Jesus does not set you free. Being a Christian does not set you free. Jesus said, if you know the truth will make you free. Your worship and your love and your tears and your emotion towards Him, although it might be sincere, does not set you free. Knowing the truth does. And we saw it on Tuesday night, what that looks like. What it means to know the truth. And we saw examples in the Bible of people that when they finally knew the truth, the freedom came. Amen. Hallelujah. And we talked a little bit kind of about some of this stuff. And if you remember, I also preached a sermon a few Tuesdays and Wednesdays ago about spirit words change the natural. Yeah. Well, what are you talking about, spirit words change the natural? Well, look at Mark 11:23. It's a very familiar verse. If you don't know, you should look out on our one of our overhangs there. We have the old mountain from the old warehouse up there. Just smaller and scaled down quite a bit. And sometime you ought to peek into my office. Preferably when I'm not in there, getting ready. But peek in there and look behind my desk. We got in black and white the old backdrop of the sanctuary at the warehouse. We blew it up into a canvas print as a reminder of what God's brought us from. Praise God. That faith does move mountains. That's why we brought that mountain, put it on the overhang. So sometime when I'm not there, feel free, peek in and check it out. Snoop around if you want. There's nothing to find. But take a look in there and see that. But anyways, it says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. Do you see that there? If you believed what Jesus was saying, you'd be speaking to some things. Because he said, the only things you have are the things that you say. And back in that message, we looked at spirit words. Well, what's supposed to be in our mouth? The word is supposed to be in our mouth. Remember he said in Isaiah 55, he said, my word, it goes forth like the rain goes forth. It doesn't return like the rain. My word doesn't come back to me void. No, it hits the atmosphere like the rain hits the atmosphere. Waters the ground, causes the ground to bring forth bud, which causes what? Bread to the eater and seed to the sower. He said, my word's the same way. When it goes forth, it changes things like the rain does. Causes increase to come. Causes things to change and causes blessings. Well, Jesus said it right here. You'll have what you say. Get the word in your mouth and say some things. Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about that tonight, but it's important to see that the Bible says, if you want change, it's going to come through your mouth. Think of how you got saved. It was twofold. We're going to look at the other one tonight. Believing and speaking, right? You first had to believe. The Bible says with the heart, Romans chapter 10. Man believes, but with the mouth, confession was made unto that promise. It took your mouth saying something to acquire that. You know what your mouth ended up doing? It moved the greatest mountain that's ever been in your life, which was what? The death grip the devil had on you. You didn't get saved and free from the power of darkness till you opened your mouth. Because the Bible says that if thou shalt believe in your heart that God raises Jesus from the dead, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. Two things, believing and speaking. So yeah, you believe, but the mountain didn't move. The devil didn't take his hands off until you said something. And Jesus is saying, you want to get things moving into your life and moving out of your life? You better open your mouth. Death and life. Creative power is in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21 tells us. By your words, Jesus said, Matthew 12:37, will you be justified? And by your own words, will you be condemned? Why? Because death and power lie in the power of your words. Jesus said, whosoever will say unto the mountain, that's how you get him to be removed. Praise God. But this is what you need to know. And this is what the Holy Ghost wants me to share with you tonight. He's not talking about any old words being able to move a mountain. Because that verse doesn't just say, go back to the beginning of that verse, would you, Kim Lai, please? Notice this verse doesn't say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and thou cast into the sea, and shall whatever he says will come to pass. No, there's a big chunk there. It's not just words that move mountains. It's the right kind of words that have mountain moving power in them. What kind of words? Whoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he's saying. You know what kind of words move mountains? Faith words move mountains. And the problem is, in our word of faith camp, and let me just first warn you, watch out what you hear about the word of faith. If it's not the biblical definition, it's going to get you confused. And actually, the world's version of the word of faith and how some ministers have gotten off, I wouldn't want anything to do with it, which is basically the whole, to wrap it up in a quick ball, the word of faith in the wrong ways that you can just say and have whatever you want. It's just not true. And I don't preach it. But the Bible talks about the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's the word of faith. So be careful going and looking up stuff, word of faith. Find out what your pastor's definition of the Bible's word of faith is. Well, it's not my definition, it's the Bible's definition, but your pastor will give you that definition. Amen. But we have a lot of people in the camp of the word of faith, because we know confession's a part of it. They're speaking to their mountains, and you should be. But they're shooting blanks. Or if they're shooting anything, it's just little Nerf darts hitting that mountain, bouncing off. If you're saying and being faithful to say, and things are not changing for you, something's wrong. Because Jesus said you'll have what you say. Amen. That's what he said. And we need to check up on ourselves. It's not words that get it done. It's faith words. Now let me give you an example the Lord gave me. I am a huge fan of the Navy SEALs. all things related. Documentaries, behind the scenes, books, stories, movies. I am just so impressed with human beings that are willing to voluntarily put themselves through something called Hell Week. And you watch it, and how wet they get, and tired they get, and hungry they get, and who will voluntarily go to the most dangerous places in the world where no one ever, even in their closest family, knows where they are, takes care of the things behind the scenes to keep us safe thousands of miles away, and they don't get any praise, any accolades for it, any notoriety. Something about those people, they're different breeds of human beings, and they impress me. Thank God for them, right? But we know they didn't come in to their recruiter's headquarters sitting down with their Navy recruiter as Navy SEALs. When they signed up for regular boot camp, because you don't start at Navy SEAL boot camp, you start at regular general boot camp for the Navy, they were not Navy SEALs. Right? How many of you know they had to go through a ton of training? It started somewhere, but then what? Going through the training and passing the training and qualifying, things were put in them, so when the time came to fire back at things that were fired at them or opposition at them, they were and are ready. Right? They don't just take people that start, you know, in the Navy and they have no training and say, okay, because how many of you know you can give a Navy SEAL who's went through all the training, and you can give someone fresh out of high school that just went to the recruiter's office, and now in the summer after high school they're getting shipped off to boot camp, you can give those people the same exact equipment, the same gun, the same night vision, the same tactical gear, the same boots, the same armor, the same bullets, the same weapons. You can give them the exact same thing and put them both in the exact same battle, and it's going to turn out different for the one that was prepared and ready to start firing than the one that's just not knowing what to do, just firing at will and, right? Here's my point. You can say any words to any mountain. If there's a financial mountain, you can put the words, money come to me. Debts, you're paid off. You can put those words in any Christian's mouth. But just like that Navy SEAL that has the training, they're going to do different with the gun and the tactical gear and the night vision and all the water stuff and the boats and the things that they use. They're going to do different and be more skillful and get a lot better results than the fresh recruit out of the recruiter station who hasn't even been to boot camp yet. I can put body be healed in any Christian's mouth. And some, the mountain will move and healing will come. And some, the money shows up. And some confess it, and confess it, and confess it, and confess it, and nothing changes. Why? Shooting blanks. They're shooting, but they're shooting blanks. Why? They're not prepared. Because it's not any old words that move mountains. It's faith words that move mountains. Before we start spouting off at the mouth, because what happens is when we start saying, because we've heard Brother Hagin say, in that verse, the word believe is one time, and in that verse, the word say is three times, and the Holy Ghost told him, you're going to have to do three times the teaching on the saying, then the believing. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and then just say, well, we can't teach on the believing part, because the belief part's still in there. But the confession part, because it's an outward doing, it appeases our flesh at times. It makes our mind feel like we're doing something productive. And so we'll confess and we'll wake up and we'll have our lists on our iPads, on our notebooks. Okay, I've got to confess for my finances. I've got to confess for my healing. And you confess these things. And why aren't things changing and things getting different when the pastor's telling me, speak to the mountain, speak to the mountain, and it'll change. And it will, and it has for me. But It's because we didn't take time to prepare to say the right thing, even though the words sound exactly the same. Preparation time, ladies and gentlemen, is never a wasted time. Do you know that Jesus spent 30 years of life for 3.5 years of ministry? He didn't step into ministry before what? The Holy Ghost came upon him. Then he stepped in. Then it's like, okay, now things have changed. Now it's time to tear the world up. 25 years old, he wasn't in ministry. He's a carpenter. 28 years old. He's learning. He's in the temple and he's preparing. He's in boot camp. All that time, Jesus didn't come out of the manger assaulting the devil's kingdom. He was a threat to the devil's kingdom, but he didn't start doing until he was 30 years old. 29 years of preparation for 3.5 years of ministry. And because he spent all that time preparing in 3.5 years, he turned the world on its head like it's never been seen before. And in our faith walk, we better recognize and be skillful and cooperate with the Word that we better take some time to prepare our faith words. And not just run out and say, Pastor said we can speak to the mountain. Start speaking healing. Start speaking prosperity to come and our change in our kids. Mark 11:23 is preceded by Mark 11:22, which says what? Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, in my margin, it has original Greek and Hebrew, if it's Old Testament Hebrew, of what that saying literally translates means. Because have faith in God is right, but also have the faith of God is right as well. Well, Jesus told before, he spoke to the fig tree, they were shocked, said, how does this happen? And Jesus said, no, have faith in God. But notice, before he tells them anything in verse 23, he tells them, you first have to start with belief. That's all faith is. Have belief in God or have the belief of God. Well, what when you say the belief of God, well, remember when Jesus, the example he used in the verses before was, he spoke to a tree. Now, when Jesus called that fig tree cursed and said, no man eat fruit from you here ever, and walked away, do you think when he spoke that, he was 100% convinced in his mind, that fig tree's changing because I just said it was. Oh, absolutely. He didn't walk away wondering if anything was going to happen. He knew his words had power. And then they were shocked when it changed. And he said, no. You have the faith of God. You have the faith in God. You can do the same thing. And then he used the example of the fig tree, but he used the mountain now. He said, if you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, it'll be cast to sea, it'll change. Just like I spoke to the tree, you can do it with the mountain. But it didn't start there. He said, the first thing before you even open your mouth is you have to have faith. And so many people are just trying to get out on the battlefield because they think if I can just get my confession out there because I have what I say. But you don't just have what you say. You have the faith words that you say. Amen. So we got to make sure our words are laced and packed full of faith powder. Or we're going to be shooting blanks when we're speaking to things. And a lot of Christians are shooting blanks because we get it all in our heads. Just confess, confess, confess. But Jesus didn't just say confess. He said, whatsoever you believe. And he started, he said, the first thing you do is have faith in God. Have faith in God. Praise God. Well, go with me to Romans 10:17. I'm going to tell you something that maybe you were unaware of. But if we look at the Bible, it's right there in the wording. Now we know this in Romans 12, it tells us something. It tells us that we've all been dealt a measure of faith. But we also know in the Word that faith is, well, we know in that verse, it's measurable. He said a measure of faith. We see in the Bible they have a term for dead faith. Exceedingly great and growing faith. Great faith, small faith, no faith. Faith is a measurable thing. You've been given a measure. It can increase that measure of faith, that belief, that strength. And it says, faith cometh. You'd say this way, faith increases and faith grows. Now notice this. Does it say, faith cometh by having heard one time? Faith comes, look at the word, hearing and hearing. That means it never stops in your life. I heard Pastor Nancy say this, that she heard a minister say it. I don't remember who it was, but she quoted the minister saying that the minister said that faith has a shelf life. That if you believed, well, here's what I mean by it. The faith that you had 10 years ago for your healing, if you did nothing with it, you do not still have that faith 10 years down the road. It had a shelf life. It expired. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. I'll give you an example. I've gone through things in my body years ago that I built my faith up and plowed through that thing, gotten a victory, and encountered things, knock, knock on the door, and there's a hell body trial staring you in the face, physical symptoms, impossibilities, they say, you know. And the reports and the symptoms, the feeling in your body take you back and shock you. And worry starts to set in. There was no worry way back then. There was no fear. Same with financial tests and trials. Gone through that $2,000. There was times during that $2,000 short every month, I was excited about being $2,000 short the next month. Not dreading it, not upset, excited about it because I knew my God was going to come through. My faith was so through the roof during that time. But then there's been other things that after that, when the building comes, that helped me when I look back on that, that things with the building, things in life, where, well, when you quit your job after that test, because we'd finally gotten, God said, quit your job, now we go backwards again, and it's a blow to your system. It's like, okay, that faith that got me through it the first time, it's not there anymore. Not that it's gone, but to keep that level going, you got to hear and 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 hear. It's got a shelf life. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Your faith is what I'm trying to say. Remember, because it takes faith words spoken, and faith starts in your heart. The words that will move mountains are faith words. Your faith, for it to be faith words and not empty blanks, must constantly be fed. You ever heard of the play or the movie or the musical Little Shop of Horrors? Do you remember Little Shop of Horrors? Do you remember Audrey? Audrey worked in there with the shop owner, and they had a plant business, you know, and she had a bad boyfriend, you know, and the business started going for, this is just the quick Cliff Notes version of Little Shop of Horrors, so now you'll never have to go see it. I'm not recommending it, I'm just saying I know the story. And remember, business was bad, and there was this crazy-looking Venus flytrap plant. I thought, I know how we'll get business. Audrey came up with the idea, let's put the plant in the front window because it was so crazy looking, that'll draw people in. And it started to draw people in, but then the plant started to wither up. Well, plant food wasn't working. They found out, remember the guy, the owner of the shop, pricked his finger, blood fell into the plant's mouth, and the plant came to life. It started to grow. Hence, Little Shop of Horrors. It needed human blood to grow. Wonderful. Who thought of this thing? But anyways, the point being, when that plant didn't get fed the right things, it withered up and died. If we think we're faith giants, but we are not placing ourselves in a consistent hearing and hearing, there is no faith. Because the only way faith comes and stays alive and fed is if you hear the word over and over and over. But people are living off because they can quote a scripture. They think that's faith. That's not faith. We looked at that on Tuesday night. That's not faith. Hearing and hearing and hearing puts you into the belief stage. And then you release your belief through your words. But what's coming out then is power-packed faith, mountain-moving words. Amen. Amen. But we've wasted the time, or not taken the time, to prep. We just want to get the confessions out. Just find me a verse, Pastor Mike, about my healing, and I'll just keep saying it. But you never built this up in here. They're just empty words. Whatsoever shall not doubt but believe those things which he saith. Well, how does belief come? Hearing and hearing and hearing. There's no doubt, I'm going to tell you the truth, when Pastor Michael sat me down at the Mexican restaurant when I told him I'm quitting my full-time job to start a church in South Dayton, New York, and I begged him for a salary, and he came up to the pulpit the next service, pointed to the Bible, said, "Come here, Pastor Mike," pointed to the Bible, and it said, it was the verse when Jesus talked to the disciples, he said, "When I sent you out with nothing, and I knew there was no money coming for me, no salary for me, with a baby on the way, with bills that equaled, stacked up to $1,200 every month, and when you added groceries, gas, and anything for him, when he was newborn, it averaged $2,000 every month that we had to come up with that was not there." And I'm going to tell you something at first, what I did. Oh, man, he told me it wasn't happening. She cried. I wanted to cry. I mean, our faith was strong, you know. You can tell how your faith is by your reaction to things. I'm not saying it's not a heavy blow at first, but faith people get right back in the game and start fighting back. That's what faith does. Faith's not discouraged. Faith's not hopeless. Faith's not down. Faith's not depressed. Faith doesn't say words like, "What am I going to do?" That's not what faith does. Because faith has belief in the Word of God, and the Word of God is your answer to tell you exactly what to do. Faith words are words that speak in the face of sickness, "My body's healed." Because that's what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible, and I just go speak. That's becoming one with the Word. That's just what faith people do. If that's not your response, you need to go back to step one. Get it in ya. Get it in ya. Till what? We talked about on Tuesday. Till the day star rises. Till there's a birth in the inside of you. What birth? The birth of faith. Where you're more convinced. Where you get like Abraham. Where instead of laughing at God and going out and looking for a mistress to fulfill the role to make a baby. Where I don't care what my body says. I don't care what my wife's body says. The Word says. That's when you know you're in faith. When the Word. The Bible says Abraham considered not his own body now dead being 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Didn't care anymore. Didn't matter what the symptoms said. Didn't matter what the doctor's report said. Didn't matter what the checkbook or the calculator said. All that mattered and swayed him was what God had said. That's faith. That's when you know you're in faith. And if you're not there and you're just speaking empty words and you really don't believe a lick of what you're saying, you're just wasting your time. And like Brother Hagin said, you might as well just look to the heavens and twiddle your thumbs and sing, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." It'll have just as much power as your words that you're supposedly speaking to the mountain. Because they have to be laced with faith. How do you get faith? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen. I want to go over a few verses before we close. I want to show you in the Bible here. What am I saying? Take time to feed your faith. Take time to feed on healing. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, sure you do. You make time for that which is important. You got recreation time. You got TV time. You got family time. You got work time. Oh, yeah. We have time. Amen. That which is important to us, we make the time. Feeding our faith is vital, too. Feeding on faith every day. Feeding on healing. I'm not saying to the extent that I get to, this is what I do for a living, right? But even I have to walk things out. I have a family. I have responsibilities. I have things. I can't just spend all day long in the Word. You know, I got distractions and stuff too. Praise God. Gotta feed, gotta feed, gotta feed, gotta feed. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. If you're not hearing, you don't have faith. Why? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. I've been saying it. Yeah, okay, you've been saying things. What reservoir are they coming from? You know, I built my faith up 5 years ago for this sickness thing, and then I just haven't looked at a word on healing since then, but I've been saying the Scriptures, but you don't have faith if you're not hearing, because the only way faith is there is if there's hearing. Your faith has to be continually fed by the Word. Amen. Joshua 1 and verse 8. We know these verses, but that's okay. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein, day and night. You know what day and night is? Every single stinking day. For the rest of your life, this is your prescription. Every day, for the rest of your life, the Word is telling you, day and night, the Word should be around you. That you observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then we better just learn to follow the Word and not think we can get anything outside of what the Word says, how we can have it. Because it says, then your way will be made prosperous. I want the prosperous way with no work. I want the prosperous way without having to set myself aside. No, that's not how it happens. He says when a person will yield to the Word and give themselves to feed on it day and night, then your way is made prosperous, then you have good success. And the reason that happens is because when you do day and night, something's birthing on the inside of you. It's called faith. It's rising up. And then you'll speak faith words and it'll change your path and it'll change your unsuccess to success. But it starts with feeding. Feed, 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 feed. Glory to God. People are... Nothing's coming out. Just they're so serious about it. Nothing's coming out. Not laced with anything. Just blank rounds coming out. Why? Didn't take time to feed. First thing Jesus said before speaking, he said, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith. Before you even open your mouth, have faith, have faith. Don't skip a step. They don't skip steps for the Navy SEALs training. Well, we'll skip the whole underwater portion. Go see what they make those guys do. They tie their hands and their feet behind their back and make them tread water for like an hour. How do you do that when you don't have your hands and feet? And they constantly keep sinking down and pushing off the bottom and getting air. That's why it's called Hell Week. They hardly get any sleep. They don't skip these steps. Why? They're trying to put something in those guys. Because when they're off into no man's land, hell on earth, freezing and cold, we can't have them wussing out and giving up their location because they're shivering and too hungry and falling asleep on the job. No, we got to put them through the ringers before, so when they go out on the battlefield, they're ready. You need to put yourself, stop being such a wuss with yourself. Put yourself into some training, of meditating, of time spent hearing the Word, shutting off the outside world and getting the Word in you. Why? So you can start shooting some fiery rounds at this stuff. Psalms chapter 1. This ain't bondage. Listen, what would bondage tell you? Well, if I don't do this, God doesn't love me. God loves you as much as He's ever going to love you, whether you're a doubting Thomas or a faith Paul. Either way, God loves you as much as He's ever going to love you. You doing this doesn't change Him. It changes you, though. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, this is interesting. And in His law, His word, does he meditate. Well, if I have the time. In His law, he meditates for 45 minutes a week on a Saturday night when Pastor Mike's up there yapping at me. That's my word time. No, that's not what it says. In His law, he meditates day and night. What's that mean? The word is always there. Well, if the word's always there, guess what's happening? Your faith is being fed. And what happens when they meditate day and night? And he, who? The day and nighter. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, or water, that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf won't wither. He won't wither. He won't wither. And whatever he does will prosper. People are claiming that verse all the time. Man, whatever I do, it prospers. Really? Are you a day and nighter? Because if you're not, that doesn't pertain to you. Ouch! Did I say that? Shame on me. It's true. Oh, whatever I do, I'm a Christian. Whatever I do prospers. Yeah, if you're a day and nighter, it does. I have prosperity and good success because I'm a Christian. Yeah, if you're a meditator a day and night, then yeah, you can claim that. Oh, I touch my Bible every 4 days. No, don't stop claiming it then. It's not for you. It's like the people. I, a Christian, I eat the good of the land. Really? Isaiah 1:19 says if you're willing and obedient. If you're not willing and obedient, you don't qualify for the good of the land. Well, I abound in blessings. I'm a Christian. No. The Bible says the faithful man abounds in blessings. If you're not faithful, you don't qualify for that. Stop claiming things. Yeah, we want. See, we have to remember there's a God side and a man side. Man has a part to play. Amen. What's man's part? Meditating in the Word day and night. What's God's part? Make it so you prosper. Whatever you touch will prosper. Because you can't do that on your own, but He can. Through faith, praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 4 and verse 20. You still love me? Fake it if you don't. Just fake it if you don't. Praise God. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Who else is going to tell you this stuff? You mean to spew the stupid grace message that's going around in the body of Christ? Say, Pastor, are you against grace? No, I'm thankful for grace. Amen. But what's the stupid grace message going around? The one that's not biblical. The one that tells you you can live however you want and it'll still work for you because you're God's child. The one that tells you everything's just under the blood. Do anything you want. It's already under the blood. Oh, it's just such a lie of the enemy to get people living wrong, and the devil says, got them. Or would you rather have someone telling you the truth that says, you know, the word actually says, if you want prosperity, good success, you got to get in the Bible. I like truth. Proverbs 4:20, my son, daughters included, of course, attend to my words. You know what I didn't have in school and it cost me? Good attendance. I missed all the important things with the test review. Skipped school a lot. Right? Usually the people that miss a lot of class and school, usually some are just naturals. But usually the rule usually is if you're not there to hear the material, come test time, usually. Right? Attend to my words. What's he saying? You better have good attendance to my words. Why? There's a test coming. Incline your ear to my saying. What's he saying? Your job to do it. He's not tracking you down. It's your job to turn to him. Well, I'm too busy. That's your problem. God's not going to change his ways because you've structured your life in such a way that leaves no time for day and night. This is the bold stuff to shake you. You want change in your life? Do the Bible. Stop thinking it's just going to happen because you're a sweet person and you love God. A lot of people love God and their lives are chaos and crazy and filled with hell on earth. You got to do the Bible. Amen. It's the truth. You got to incline your ear. You got to turn towards it. He didn't say, well, if you're too busy, I love it. I love it, I love it. In Luke chapter 10, we have a picture of busyness. Mary and Martha. Martha invites Jesus into her home. Martha invites her sister Mary into her home. And there's lots to be done. Dishes, vacuuming, sweeping the floors, making the meals. And Martha's running around like a chicken with her head cut off. And Mary sits down at Jesus' feet and hears the word. And Martha gets offended and says, how dares my own sister do that in my house? Does she not know by how I'm running around? And she comes to Jesus, what, all offended and angry. Yeah, usually the ones that aren't around the word are the offended, angry ones. You know what my favorite thing is? Push pause on what I'm just talking about and let's turn on the other TV. You know, some people have multiple TVs and I think that looks wonderful for football day. Like the real people that are really into it, they have a TV here, a TV, are they all the things? So we're going to pause that TV, we're going to pretend we have a second TV. My favorite is when I tell people stuff in the Bible, and you know what they come back with me? Yeah, but I've talked to people before that have been offended at other people, and I'll say, you need to deal with that offense. I don't care if they did you wrong, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but, so I'll say it again. Yeah, but, I'm done with you, I can't help you. The Bible says, be offended at nothing. The Bible says you have no right to be angry, bitter, and unforgiving towards anything. Now, there's times of righteous anger. Don't misunderstand me. But to hold grudges and be in bitterness and unforgiveness, the Bible says if you have anything against anybody, your job is just to forgive them. Right. It was a yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Yeah, usually the yeah, butters are the ones that aren't around the word a lot, and they don't have the life of God flowing in them. Right. And they're offended. It's true. Yeah. Martha's all offended, but we see a picture of Martha's life, too. Martha's not a day and nighter. That's right. And she says, Jesus! How dare she do this? And what did Jesus say? Oh, Martha, Martha. He even used her name twice. Martha, Martha. We have a lot of Marthas. Martha, Martha. See, Martha wanted the blessings. Martha wanted the good things to flow. We have Christians, they want the good things. They want the prosperity and good success. They want there to be like whatever they do prosper. Oh, I want that, but I don't want to pay the price to get it. And he says, Martha, there's many things in life, basically, but only one thing's needful. And your sister, she chose the good part. Well, what did Mary choose to do? In the midst of life, make time to feed, feed, feed. Incline her ear. Why? Faith, faith, faith. So if your life is such that you don't have time to come to church, You don't have time to get in the Word. That's your problem, and He's not going to change His ways for you because you're sweet and loving and you've been through hell on earth. No. Amen. I love you enough to tell you this. I love you enough to see some of the looks on some of the faces I get when I talk like this. That's true. I don't care. Jesus sat right there in Martha's own home and said, "You're wrong, Martha. You are wrong. Your sister's right." He didn't give a rip. When you're preaching truth, you don't care. Amen. Incline thine ear to thy sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. Oh, I want the life. Okay, but you've got to find them. Health to their flesh. Look what they translate into, life and health. Why? Because when you incline your ear to His sayings and you don't let them depart from your eyes, but you keep them in the midst of your heart, faith is building up. And then you release your faith and mountains move and success and prosperity and joy and victory and healing comes. Hallelujah. Now, let's close with this. Just I want to go there and show you real quick. Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. If you see, this is where the devil gets people. Because there are precious, sweet Christians who would give anybody the shirt off their back, would do anything for anybody, love God, want to be moral. And life's hell on earth. Where's God at in those situations? They're getting a little slopped over, bus. But where is He? Why is it always like this? Either He's turned His back on you, which we know is not true. Or Houston, it's not him that has a problem. It's us that has a problem. Mark 5 will show you a little bit more of that. Mark 5, verse 25. Praise God. I'll tell people their answers. You need to be in church. You need a pastor. Yeah, but I can't because of this. Oh, then I'm sorry. That's what He told you how to get better. I can't go to church. I'm too busy. My life's such, and then my job and my work. I can't do it. I'm sorry. He's not going to change His word. If you don't have a pastor, you're going to be scattered, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. He didn't say, "Well, if you're too busy, we'll just skip over that part of the word for you." Glory to God. People. And a certain woman, Mark 5:25, had an issue of blood for 12 years. You want to talk about desperation? And somebody that had the world kicking her while she was down, it was this woman. Suffered many things of many physicians. They weren't even helping her, they're making her worse. Spent all the money that she had, was nothing better, rather grew worse. Now we know, for 12 years she had an incurable blood condition, which means she's weak in her body. She spent all her money, which means we know this. She's not buying the most nutritious, high-quality food. She's weak in her body. She spent everything. She has no money. That doesn't usually do very well for people's emotions and mental stability. When they're sick for 12 years, spend all their money trying to get better, and they're not better, they're actually worse. She's in a horrible position, and she can't even go out in public without having to declare, "I'm unclean to the world," and be shameful that I got some blood disorder. That if I touch you, it makes you unclean. You know what she wants to do? Curl up in a ball all day long, every day, and not face things. Wouldn't you? You ever been there? I've been there. But I'm going to tell you something. Staying in a ball and curled up and not coming out swinging out of the corner. Jesus was in her town that day and didn't go say, "Hey, let's stop what we're doing and let's go to this woman's house who has no feeling of wanting to come out in public, who has no reason to want to come out, who's been tormented and tortured, is in a horrible position. Let's go bring everything to her." Nope. That's not how He did it. But Jesus, "I'm uncomfortable around people and I don't want to go to church. But Jesus, my kids, and this is why I can't go to church. But Jesus, your choice. This day, I call to record against you, heaven and earth. I've set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Set it before you. Choose life. Am I saying it's easy? No. But I can't wait for some of the testimonies that come out in my life. And you're going to find from your pastor, in the worst of the worst times, I got a suit on and came and preached fire to you when hell on earth was going on in my life and you knew nothing about it. Never had a clue. And I came and lifted you up and strengthened you and didn't just stay home and curl up in a ball. Things I won't share now because we're getting to the other side of some things, but I can't wait. Because you're going to find out that I'm not just a echo saying this stuff. I am a doer of what I preach. Amen. I'm not telling you it's not tough to get here. I'm not telling you at times it's not so inconvenient. But what I am telling you is this is your life here. This is your answers. This is your help. This is your lifeline. God put a word church in Allegheny, New York to pull you out of the hell you're in. Because just loving Him and just being faithful to go to any old church and worshiping Him with all your heart is not what brings the change. It's the truth that brings the change. So I'm not saying it's not hard and difficult and inconvenient. And especially Saturday night, this isn't a normal time for church. But what's offered here is worth the adjustment and the tweaking and the changing and the driving. Because He will not change His standards because your life is hell on earth. He did it for her. He didn't do it for her. But notice this, verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. What was it that enabled her to come out of that hole that she's in? 12 years of hell. What enabled her? Where did it all start? When she heard. What happened when she heard? Same thing that happens to you when you hear. Faith. For 12 years, all she's hearing is how sick she is. All she's hearing is her body talking to her. All she's hearing is how gross she is and unclean she is and how she's not fit to be in society and she has no money and the calculator's talking to her and her bills are talking to her, her refrigerator's talking to her and her body's talking to her and the cupboards are talking to her. And her faith is in what? I'm stuck forever. But something changed. She heard something. What'd she hear? There's a healer in town. There's a man by the name of Jesus. The impossibles happen with Him. The incurables get fixed with Him. She heard the word. And faith rose up on the inside of her. And it caused her to step out of her comfort zone and go after some things. And the Bible says she touched His garment, for she said, she had faith in her heart and she had faith in her mouth. That's where faith is, in two places, your heart and your mouth. If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Those weren't empty faith words. Those weren't blanks. How do we know? She already took care of the faith part in verse 27. She heard, faith came. Now if I touch His garment, if I touch His garment. How do we know her faith? Her faith had actions behind it. Yeah. She must have thought something was going to be different to go pressing through crowd of who knows how many thousands of people, touching each and every one of them, being knocked around over. You should also check in my office. I have that painting of her just reaching through the crowd to touch the hem of His garment. She must have believed. Her faith, her actions lined up with her words. If I just touch Him, I don't care if I'm unclean. I don't care if I'm weak. I don't care if I might get trampled in this crowd. I gotta get to Him. Why? Faith was big in her. And when she said, may I touch His garment? She's speaking to the mountain right there. Faith words. But where did it start? In the hearing. Your faith words to your mountain of healing that you need. Your mountain of prosperity. Your mountain of depression. Your mountain with your kids. Your mountain whatever. Fill in the blank. It's gonna change and start at the hearing. The hearing. The hearing. And we know the rest of the story for time's sake. She did. She touched the hem of His garment. And guess what? She came out of that thing whole. Same thing happened to blind Bartimaeus. Same thing happened to the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. Hell on earth till they heard. Faith rose up and faith changes things. Praise God. So ladies and gentlemen, my point, take time to hear. Take the time to hear. Not just to find a scripture. Take time to hear the word until the day dawn. You might need faith on just coming to church. Okay, then meditate on what Jesus said about it until it rises up to you like, can't miss. Gotta be there. Gotta plant. Gotta plant. Amen. It might be doing the tithe. It might blow your mind to bring a tithe. Okay. Get in the Word and see what the Word says about it. Till faith rises up, then the tithe becomes easy. It might be giving an offering on top of the tithe. Well, I give my tithe, but man, I can't go above that 10%. Well, then you need to get in the Word until the faith rises up to actually go above the 10%. Yeah. Forgiveness, same thing. I know I need to forgive, but you know, how can I forgive? They've done so many, and people have been wronged. Okay, get in the Word till you read on forgiveness, what the Bible says about forgiveness, till faith rises up, and you'll so sweetly do like Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That impossible sickness doesn't become so impossible when faith rises up. Glory to God. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came. Praise God. We got some things out tonight, stirred it up, praise God. Gave the devil a black eye. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. This church, I'm just telling you, by the Spirit of God, some things I know, is a lifeline to certain people. It is a rescue. It is a help. And you know what's funny? You ever heard that joke about the person stranded on the desert island? And they sent a rowboat, and they said, no, I'm waiting for my rescue a certain way. Right? Didn't get in the rowboat, didn't get into the speedboat, because they wanted to be helicoptered off that island. And their help to get them off there. And people don't realize that when God drops a Word and Spirit Church in your lap, it is a lifeline to rescue your whole family, your finances, your body, your mind. I am not coming against the other churches. I don't know every single other church what they're doing. I pray that they're doing the Word, but I know what our mission is. And I know what our mandate is, and we're going to stick to it. But this is a lifeline and a rescue to people. And because it doesn't come, yeah, thank you for that, Lord, because it doesn't come wrapped in a worship team that has tremendous musicians with the smoke and light show and an hour of songs and thumping bass that goes through you and almost like a rock concert. It can't certainly be doing very much because it comes and looks in the form of an old Presbyterian church, because there's pews and there's empty seats. What can be going on there? But what's the content? What's the lifeblood of this church? The Word of God. John the Baptist took the Word to the wilderness with no worship team, with no groups and no big buildings and no huge parking lots. And he preached the Word and lives were changed. The people that gave heed to John the Baptist in the wilderness, their lives were changed. Hallelujah. Jesus never had a worship team. He never even had buildings. He preached on the shoreline and the people that gave heed to that, their lives were changed because of the Word of God. Paul never had worship teams that they talk about in the Bible, or big groups and programs and ministries and outreaches. But he had what counted, the Word of God. Hallelujah. You see, people don't recognize in our 20th, you know, our 2020 church culture in America, that the big worship teams and the rocking buildings and the thousands of people and the multiple services, that certainly has to be where it's at. Well, I hope it is. I hope the Word's going forth there, because those things aren't wrong. But if the Word's not there, then what's most important is missing. Oh, Father, I pray that people would recognize there's a chance to hear multiple occasions from this church to keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. To rescue, to grow them, to get them out of the hell that they're in. But it takes them doing the right thing with it, Father. You'll never force anybody. You hate watching your kids sick, but you'll let them stay sick if they want it by their choices. You hate seeing your kids broke, but you'll let your kids stay broke if that's the choices they make. You hate seeing us depressed and full of fear, anxiety, where you hate it. You love us. But if that's the choice that we choose by not doing the Word, you'll let it stay. Father, I pray that people would make the right decision, start hearing the Word, start being in a position not only to hear the Word, but outside of the walls here, being a day and nighter, watching faith build in certain areas, becoming faith giants, watching mountains crumble. Yes, watching the mountains crumble. Now, if I could ask everybody real quick to bow your heads and to close your eyes, please, nobody looking around. If you're here tonight, ask yourself this question, and if you can hear my voice listening on live stream. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. When I ask myself that question, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. That's a great feeling because I don't know the day. I mean, I know there's going to be a day if Jesus doesn't come back, then I'm not going to be alive anymore. And my spirit's going somewhere. And I'm going to heaven. And you might say, how do you know, Pastor Mike? Because that's what the Bible says. So how'd you get to go there? Were you good because you're good, being a good person? No, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. A lot of yucky things. A lot of things I'm not proud to talk about. My former life. That was because you had perfect church attendance. No, I was very sporadic and unfaithful to go to church. It's because I did what the Bible said to do. I believed on Jesus and I confessed Him as my Savior. If you're here tonight, it's not about you being a good person. It's not about you going to church. It's not about you being moral and kind. And those are good things. But Jesus is the measuring line. He's the litmus test of whether we get in or not. So if you're here tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, I won't have anybody come forward, stand up, or say anything on their own. This is between you and the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus tonight and know for sure that you are a Christian and that He has forgiven you and He's become your Father, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody at all that wants to receive Him for the very first time? Nobody's looking around. I see that hand in the back. You can put it down. See that little hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith like a child. Amen. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus? Anybody want to receive Jesus? Lift your hand high in the air. Father, we had one hand. And Lord, we're going to honor that. Now, thank you, Lord. Now, for that person that raised your hand, the thing you have to do now is just confess and believe in Jesus. If you didn't raise your hand, or if you're listening online, I can't see your hand. It's just about asking Him into your heart. So whoever needed to raise their hand, didn't raise their hand, wants to be included in this, go ahead and say this with me. Repeat this after me with the whole church. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet and worship Him before we go. We got our homework. Don't just start shooting off at the mouth. Make sure they're faith words. We bless You, Father. We praise You tonight. Thank You for this church, Lord. I'm not saying thank You for me or family church. Thank You for a Word and Spirit church that helps us. I certainly hope you all recognize what you have here and what God has done for us. And that we're grateful for it because it helps us. Lord, we love You. And Father, we pray for the other churches in the area. Father, we come in agreement that they would be churches that are contending for Your plan. Not contending for crowds. Not contending for popularity. Not contending for money. Not contending for status. But contending for the Word and Spirit. And Father, those places that aren't, Lord, I know You love those people. They're precious people. I pray that You'd open the eyes of their understanding. That they would know the hope of Your calling. From the pastor down through the leadership of the church down through the congregation. Open their eyes, Father. Lord, we don't criticize and we don't condemn. Father, You love them so much. And we love them as well. We just want people help. But Father, pray their eyes would be open. They know the hope of Your calling, the riches of Your glory, Father. The exceeding greatness of Your power towards them who believes. Father, that they would be filled with Your fullness. Father, that revelation knowledge would come to them. And Lord, for us, we certainly don't claim to be perfect. Father, I know there's way more that we don't know. And Father, if we're missing it in any area, if there's places we need to turn it up and back away from, whatever, Father, we're open. We just want You. It's not a family church thing. We just want You, Father. It's not a Pastor Mike Anderson thing. We just want You. So we thank You for change in this region, change in this area. People coming to repentance. Hearts changing. Lives changing. And Father, if those people in those ministries and those people in the heads of those leadership won't change, I pray that the people would seek safe haven of places of feeding. You never called Your kids to starve. So we just thank you for change one way or the other. It'd be better if they would just change and make adjustments. But Father, I do know that in the end days, there's going to be people who are going to stray and not change. But it'd be better for them to change. That's what we're believing for. But either way, change is coming. We thank you for change, Father. We glorify you and praise you. We love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Love you. You are dismissed.